I'd invite you to open your Bibles, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You know, as I've shared an update, as well as share some prayer requests, I hope that we don't leave this evening, and myself is included, that we do not leave this evening just simply thinking, okay, that was nice, I'll think about that for a bit, and then it's gone. So tonight I'd like to preach on what I'd call a call to prayer. A call to prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'll be reading from verses 1 through 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. I thank you, God, that we have the opportunity to love you, to serve you, but most of all, to be loved by you. What a blessing it was tonight to sing of grace and to know that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank you, O God, that in Jesus Christ we have the forgiveness of sins through his shed blood. And, O Lord, even as any of us who is saved can confess, we are helpless without you. We thank you and bless your holy name for the grace that you've imparted to us through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that in him we have newness of life. Thank you that in him we are new creatures. Thank you that in him that we even have any kind of purpose now on this planet. I pray, God, that if there be one here without Jesus Christ as Savior, that he or she would see his or her need. Perhaps if it's a child over in children's church, that tonight would be the wonderful evening that little one, the adult, would recognize his own sinfulness and rely wholly on grace, and through faith in Jesus Christ would know the true meaning of salvation. I pray your blessing upon this evening's sermon, that you would please give me grace to speak clearly, directly, and most of all, Lord, with your blessing. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Some of you may know I work in town in an office for a pretty big company, and it's kind of interesting. For several years I've been working in secular offices and just in secular workplaces. And it's kind of, I don't want to say funny like ha-ha funny, but kind of funny like ironic funny, how many times when a calamity will come upon somebody in the office, something bad, something that's just not good, a sickness, an illness, that oftentimes the supervisor, the manager would come along and say, okay, guys, we need you to keep so-and-so in your thoughts. And I've kind of wondered, what does that look like? Okay, I'm thinking about him. Yeah, that's it. When I think we understand that as believers, we can do much more than just keep people in our thoughts, right? As believers, we can go that extra step. And it's good to think about somebody, maybe even send him a card thinking of you. But you know what's even better? Keep them in your thoughts and prayers. So tonight, my goal is I want you not just to think of us, and not even just Evangelical Bible Church, not just Manuel Mendoza, but missionaries that are out on that board, whether it's the Beams, the Mutskis, the Joneses, the Hancocks, many others you can see out there. It's one thing to keep us in your thoughts, but please keep us in your prayers. Tonight I'd like to look at a call to prayer in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, Paul says, pray for us. You know, as Paul is getting ready to close this small epistle, in this final chapter, he says, finally, in closing, if there's one thing I want to communicate here before I drop this pen and call it a night, pray for us. Now, from what we understand, this is Paul, Silas, and Timothy, while they're probably out trying to church plant in Corinth. And Paul here is saying, pray for us. He's talking to this church in Thessalonica that was founded in Acts 17, that according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, received the word with gladness, with joy, not as though it were the word of man, but the word of God. And Paul here says, guys, church family, pray for us. If you're taking notes, the first point I'd like to point out tonight, a church must pray for missionaries. As simple as that. Now, if you want to put a church must pray for missionaries, church must pray for church planners. The point here is a church must pray for missionaries or church planners, whatever word you choose to use. Now, the word here, pray, of course, is an imperative. It's sort of a command, we would call this. Paul is saying here, if there's one thing you must do, pray. And of course, pray has significance in verses 1 and 2. Pray for us, verse 1. Pray for, what is he supposed to pray? That the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. And verse 2, pray that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. So Paul's prayer request can be broken down into two segments in regards to praying for missionaries. Now, one thing we do need to consider here is when Paul says he's asking for prayer, how much more do people nowadays need prayer? Church planners nowadays need prayer. Missionaries nowadays need prayer. I invite you to join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go back and we'll see a couple of other examples. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Of course, we'll hold our place in 2 Thessalonians and we'll come right back to that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you have here in verse number 11, Paul says, sorry, I keep defaulting to the Spanish side of my Bible. Paul says, you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many. Another version he says right here, and it says, you also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. Now, if you can, please join me in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, asking them to help in prayer. And I like the way he says joining and helping us. It's basically cooperating. Now in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul has written to the church at Thessalonica. Paul has written to the church at Corinth. What about the church at Ephesus? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. In the New American Standard, it says, and pray on my behalf. Paul here is basically asking, once again, as he asked the church at Thessalonica, the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, pray for me. Now, of course, we know Paul was a missionary / church planner. And Paul is asking these churches, pray for me. Why? Well, because a church must pray for missionaries. A church must pray for church planners. Now let's go over to Colossians. We're already kind of in Ephesians. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, please. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. So once again here, Paul is saying, pray for us. Pray for us as church planters. Pray for us as missionaries. Paul's writing to churches, saying he needs your prayers. He doesn't need your thoughts. He needs your prayers. I say this, of course, going back, please, to 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians, we'll see chapter 3. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul, of course, here says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Establishing here that Paul is not just, this is an isolated incident where Paul tells this church to pray for him. This is what Paul is writing to many churches, to many believers in churches. Pray for them as missionaries. Pray for them as church planters. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Of course, 1 Thessalonians, he ends the book the same way in chapter 5, verse 25, right? Brethren, pray for us. Well, by now it's pretty clear Paul is asking the church, exhorting the church, using imperative verbs to the church to pray for him and his missionary team. And just as we see here again, pray. So when we look at this word, finally, brethren, pray for us. This verb is not just a kind of, you know what, that was a stirring message. You know what? I remember, man. You know, I remember when Pastor Mendoza was here. I remember him preaching maybe once or twice back then. I remember the ministry over there when we were meeting kind of at the same times, but in different places, and they were still in ministry. I'm going to pray for him tonight. And then tomorrow, it's gone. That's not what this verb pray would mean. It's not even that, oh, you know what, I really remember that. I'm going to get a card. I'm going to like them on Facebook. I'm going to do these different things. And then after 2 or 3 days, it's gone. After 2 or 3 weeks, it's gone. The idea of pray is continual, repetitive, frequent, systematic prayer. Prayer. Week after week, month after month, year after year. I'm asking you, even as Paul would ask, pray for missionaries. Pray for church planters. I would love it if everybody in here would pray for me, but that would be awfully selfish. Be like handing somebody a bouquet of forget-me-nots, right? The most selfish flower in the world, because it's still all about me. Forget me not. But on account of that, pick any one of those pick any one of those missionary prayer cards. Choose us, Evangelical Bible Church. Church planters, pray. A church must pray for missionaries. Church planters. Not for a few days. Not just tonight. Not just for a month. Pray consistently. So by now the obvious question is, sure, Manuel, we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray for your ministry. I'd love to pray for you, for Sam, for Paul, for Francisco. Pray for all of them. How can I pray? What can I pray for? How can I pray biblically? Well, let's go back to the text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. Another version says that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. So two things here. We must pray that the word, that the preaching of the word, the advancement of the word is successful. And we must pray that the word is successful when we preach it. And we must pray that the word is exalted as we advance it. That the word is successful and that the word is exalted. What does it mean that the word of the Lord may have free course? That the word of the Lord will spread rapidly? That the word of the Lord may speed ahead? What would that look like? A few years back. Actually, I hate to say even a few years back. Many years ago, when I was in grad school, And I had to work in town, worked a part-time job at a department store here at Haywood Mall in Dillard's. It was a great job because they were flexible on hours. If I did my work quickly enough, I kind of just had to monitor the station. I could get some studying on my study cards, memorize verses, what have you. And I remember as I was there one evening in the men's department, which is the lowest floor. And there's three stories at Dillard's here. And I was at the men's department, which is the lower level. Just going over my stuff, probably studying, what have you. And one of my friends comes up to me, who works in the department, a little bit removed from where I am. He says, "Hey, guess what?" I said, "What?" "There's a famous actor in here who's over there buying clothes in the suits department." I was like, "Really?" And he told me his name. I forget who it was. I said, "Wow, okay." And little by little, I started to look around. I said, "How many people have you told?" He goes, "I just came over and told you. We just saw him. And so-and-so's helping him." He goes, "I'm going to go tell so-and-so." So he went and told so-and-so over there in another department. And then little by little, as I was just there, you know, just minding my business, trying to study, I could see people coming from different parts of the men's department, just kind of like trying to get a peek. And then I saw people coming from the kids' department. The ladies working in the kids' department were leaving their stations to come over to the men's department and try to get a peek at this guy buying, a couple sports coats or whatever. And then people from the second floor started coming down. And then people from up in, electrodomesticos, I can't think of the word. Small appliances and such. People from the third floor started coming. I said, "Okay, this is getting out of hand. Who is this guy?" And of course, by the time I walked over, he was already gone, I heard. But when I saw that, you know, people started telling so-and-so, and so-and-so will tell so-and-so, and then more people will tell so-and-so, and then this person will tell so-and-so, and it was, and before you know it, you had all the people who worked there in the building were coming down just to get a peek at this guy who was supposedly some famous movie star. You know what that is? That's the word spreading rapidly. That's the word speeding ahead. That's me telling somebody some interesting news, some good news, and them getting excited about it and going telling other people, and they're coming, and they're getting excited and telling two people, and those two people are telling other people, and the word is just spreading rapidly. That would be my way. That would be my suggestion, I would say, for how a church can pray for its missionaries and church planners, that the word would spread rapidly, that the word would speed ahead. So a church must pray for its missionaries. A church must pray for its church planners. How? Pray that the word is successful, that the word runs and has free course. So that way, whether we're out holding an event at a park, whether we're having an activity on Friday night, wherever it may be, please pray that the word would go forth and be successful, would speed ahead. Secondly, pray that the word is exalted amongst all things. Even as Paul tells us here, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead, will spread rapidly, and be honored, be glorified." That it would have the long-lasting impression that it needs to be. That it would have the number one spot at the end of the day. You know, it's easy in trying to create activities, trying to create different type of fellowships, trying to create different kind of events to get people to come in. And sure, we may see many people come to play basketball. We may see many people come to play soccer. We may see many people come to do whatever activity, whether it's a food fellowship or whatever. And you know, at the end of the day, I don't want whoever wins the soccer game to be the most important thing. At the end of the day, whoever wins the basketball game, who makes the most thrilling shot, I don't want that to be the best memory that we had of the evening. At the end of the day, I don't want those good tamales that Mrs. Garcia makes to be the number one thing on people's minds. And that's a tough thing. At the end of the day, the thing that I want most glorified, the thing that I want to have the number one priority spot, the thing that needs to be most exalted is the word. That's what we would ask your prayers for. Pray that the word would go forth rapidly. Pray that the word at the end of the day would be exalted in our fellowships, in our events, in our services, in our outreaches. Pray that even as Paul has says here to a church, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly, that the word will be glorified. And if you want to see an example of what that looks like, look at the end of verse number one. Just as it did also with you. Look around. It would be a blessing a few years from now to see evangelical Bible church like this. And I would say that if by God's grace we see us grow to a decent size, it wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of my great preaching. It was God's faithful work at hand. And he's asking us to pray that he'll do it. Just as it did also with you. You know, I think so much of the many people who are involved here in different ministries, kids ministries, people down serving at Children's Church now, people serving in the nursery, people serving midweek with cleanup, people staying late, people coming early to practice music. What a blessing. And just as these things are also taking place here amongst you, I pray, and I pray that you would pray for us or for your other missionary of choice, that just as things are running here, just as things are growing here, just as the word is advancing here, just as the ministry is growing here, pray that it would so with your church planners, with your missionaries. Pray for us. That the word will be glorified, that the word will spread rapidly, just as it has with you. So number one, a church must pray for its missionaries, for its church planners. And number two, a church must pray for the protection of its missionaries, for the protection of its pastors, of its church planners, and even for its pastors. Verse number two. Finally, brethren, pray for us. The word would have free course, would spread rapidly, be glorified, and also pray, verse number two, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. I communicated a bit of shocking news to a co-worker of mine this week, and I was kind of amazed at how he reacted to it. Some of you may know I'm originally from Phoenix, Arizona, and this guy that I was working with was saying, "Oh, Phoenix is it's a pretty nice city. It's, you guys probably have nothing. You guys have it easy out there." I said, "You do realize Phoenix is the kidnapping capital in the United States, right? You do realize that Phoenix, Arizona, in some parts, is becoming a war zone." He goes, "Nah." He goes, "In my area, it's much worse." I said, "You do realize that Phoenix, Arizona, is the second worst place in the world for kidnappings, only behind Mexico City." And then his eyes started, "Really?" I said, "Oh, yeah, it's pretty bad." And then a gentleman chimes in. He goes, "Well, did you realize that one of the worst gun violence cities in the U.S. is just right up here up the road in Spartanburg, South Carolina?" And I thought, wow, violence is following me everywhere. Although we would like to think that life is nice, life is easy, we have nothing to worry about, here we see Paul asking the church to pray for him and for those who were accompanying him in church planning and mission work, that they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. This word unreasonable is the idea of people who are morally corrupt. People who we'd say in Spanish, destapados, desenfrenados. People who basically have no brakes when it comes to doing what they want to do. People who basically, I think one of the modern vernacular terms of is off the hook. Those kind of people. But Manuel, aren't we in the Bible Belt? Makes no difference. We ask in your prayers, as we go into trailer park communities, as we go into neighborhoods, even if we're in the middle of a parking lot in Spartanburg, pray for us that God would protect us from any kind of wrongdoing from people who would look to do harm to us. People who are unreasonable and wicked men. This idea of wicked men is the idea of people who are wrongdoers and are openly aggressive, openly and aggressively pursuing to do wrong. That is, they practice bad things. Against these two type of crowds, we're asking your prayer that wherever we may be, of course, God will give us safety. Now, maybe it's not as bad here in Greer and Taylor's, Greenville. But maybe if you choose a different missionary out there, you can pray for them. And if you have no idea of what missionaries to pray for, I invite you to look at different websites, maybe Fox's Book of Martyrs. I just lost the website name right now. Anyhow, for different missionaries around the world, and see what kind of persecution is taking place with other missionaries. People who we probably know here are serving in countries that are very difficult. Pray that God would deliver them from unreasonable men, from perverse men, from evil men, from wicked men, the Bible would say here. People who want to do wrong against us and people who would actually carry out those actions. Pray for your church planters. Pray for missionaries. And then here Paul ends off in verse 2. For not all have faith. Is it reasonable to say that not everybody in Greenville, South Carolina is saved? I thought people in Greenville, South Carolina are just born saved. Isn't that how it is? Don't people just come out, just naturally speaking King James English? Isn't that how it is here in the South? Hey, I got funny looks when I first came out here to study about 15 years ago. And I actually had a person who asked me when he found out I was from Phoenix, do people in Phoenix still like ride horses and stuff? I guess there's a lot of misconceptions, right? But obviously we know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes Greenville. That includes Taylor's. That includes Greer. That includes exactly as the Bible says. For not all have faith. Not all people are believers. We need to reach them with the word. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for your church planters. That the word will spread. That the word will be glorified. That we would be rescued. That we would be delivered from any kind of wrongdoers, wrong influences. Because there are a lot of people out there who don't know Christ. There are a lot of people out there who don't love Christ. And there are people out there who would actively seek to work against those who love Jesus Christ. Pray for us. Last point, verse number three. We've already seen how a church must pray for its missionaries, for its church planters. How a church must pray for their protection. And then in closing, the church must trust in God's faithfulness. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. In other words, it says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. You know, I'm often reminded and reminding our people over there that we need to be in prayer for Trinity Bible Church, just as I trust Trinity Bible Church is going to be in prayer for us. But let's face it. We're not all as faithful as we want to be, right? When we get down to the nitty gritty, we're not all as faithful as we want to be. I could have preached the most excellent sermon ever. I could have had the most heart-stirring photos ever. A missionary can bring the most heart-wrenching pictures you've ever seen. But we're gonna forget. We're going to forget here and there to pray. We're not going to pray as we ought to. We're not going to read our Bible as we ought to. But you know one thing we can count on? Verse number 3, God is faithful. God will build His church. God will continue to help Trinity Bible. God will continue to build His church there. But what a blessing we have to be a part of it. So we as a church, Trinity as a church, Evangelical Bible Church as a church, We can trust in God's protection. We can trust in God's work. The Lord is faithful. I can remember several years back when my wife and I were newlyweds and we had our one little car. Old Buick, by the way, is still running. I just found out that that car has become a classic. And I remember it got to the point where we go out in the morning. I tell my wife, I'm going to go warm the car up like 20 minutes early just to make sure this thing turns on. Because going out, you just never knew when you turn the thing on. Is the battery going to be working? Is the starter going to be out? Is the alternator going to malfunction? What's going to happen with this car? How is there anybody in here who likes an unfaithful car? Raise your hand wide, because I want to give you a strong amen. We like faithful things, don't we? I mean, come on, ladies. Don't you like to know that if you have, I don't know, let's say a washing machine. Guys, if you have a lawnmower and you just never knew, every time you went out there to start it or every time you went to turn a button on, if you just didn't know if the thing was going to work, you probably wouldn't like that too much, right? We like faithful things. We enjoy faithful things. We want faithful things. Well, I have good news for you. We have a faithful God. God is faithful. God is faithful in that He will bring these things to pass. God is faithful. He will strengthen you. If you purpose in your heart, God, you know what? I want to get better about praying for missionaries. God, I want to get better about praying for church planters. God, I want to get better about praying for Evangelical Bible Church. God, I want to get better praying for my pastor, Greg Mazak. But I just need help. The good news is God is faithful. He will help you. God will help you. The Lord is faithful and will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Now, that's Paul talking to the church. As Paul is going out saying, hey, pray for us as we go, that the word would have free course, that the word would spread rapidly, that the word would be exalted and glorified, and that we would be protected. And guess what? God is faithful that He's going to protect you, and God's going to strengthen you, and God is going to help you. And that's my message for you at Trinity. God will strengthen you. God will protect you. God will help you. And may God help us. May God help you to pray for us. And may God help us to pray for you. I appreciate the time that I've had this evening. In closing, I ask you, pray for missionaries, your church planters. On the back of your bulletins, you have an extensive list, I should say. Choose one, choose two. If you would choose to do so, choose us. If you ever have any questions, feel free to contact me. Leave a note for me. Look me up. I'd be glad to share different prayer requests, speak with you one-on-one. Pray for us that the word would be exalted, that the word would have free course. Pray for us that God would protect us as we go out and try to reach new people. And that maybe, whether it be a law, maybe it would be whatever kind of inconvenience, pray that such things would not impede the work. And in closing, let's all remember that God is faithful and He will strengthen you to help you to pray, to help us to pray, to help you to grow, to help us to grow. Because ultimately, the church is not going to grow based on my preaching. I'm not trying to be famous. I'm not trying to be somebody. I just want to faithfully deliver the word. I know for Pastor Greg, he would appreciate your prayers, that God would faithfully use you to help him, and that he would be able to strengthen you through the word, that the word would be exalted here, and that the word would go forth here for Truth Trackers, for Vacation Bible School next year, for Sunday school ministries, for your children's church ministries. May God bless you. Have a good night.